Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 18. I felt the Lord dealt with me about something through the week. I was thinking about dedicating the baby. I've been watching that little rascal grow. I'm going to tell you one thing. He's the fastest crawler I've ever seen. Sometime on Wednesday night, Ms. Marge just got him back there, and before the services and all, he's around, and she'll turn him blue sometime. And boy, he came flying down here. And I thank God he was trying to get to the altar. Amen. Some of you, it'd do us good to crawl to the altar sometime. Say amen right there. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. But God, I have been dealing with the book of Amos, in particular on Wednesday nights, and we've had so many other things to happen, but God's been good to us. But the Lord began to deal with my heart about this, and I want to share it with you in Matthew chapter number 18. And as I came into Sunday school this morning and Brother Barry opened up, started off, he read the passage of Scripture where the Lord, after His resurrection, spoke to His disciples, and He said, "Children, have you any meat?" And I thought, wow, that's the Holy Ghost of God, I believe. And so I want you to look with me this passage of Scripture. I would remind you that this passage or this story is related in all and three of the Gospels. And it's so important. Sometimes we go over some of these passages of Scripture and we don't realize that God chose to put it in the Bible. Of all the things He could have put in the Word of God, He put this in the Bible. And not just this one reference, but there are so many other references to what I'm going to deal with this morning. But let me begin reading at verse number 1 of chapter 18. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, the reason that they're asking Him that question is because they've been talking about among themselves. And there is in them some sense. I'm in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And it's some sense of wanting to be known as being the greatest in heaven. Verse number 2. And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. And He said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Here's a passage of Scripture that we can read over quickly and just mention it, but we may miss a whole lot of truth in it. As I read through this once again, I want you to look back at verse number 3. Let me reemphasize this. "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." There is something in this little biblical account that tells us the qualifications for going to heaven, for being saved. And if we miss it, we've missed it. You're living in an age when everything's gone crazy. But it has been that way for a long time. People have had their focus on achievement, being the best you can be, having it all, climbing the ladder, being great successes, having the most education you can get. Nothing wrong with education, but achieving the highest rung of the ladder in the corporate world, amassing land and cars and all those things. That has become a dominant thought and dominating part of life in America for years now. We're reaping now the results of materialism and a moral decline in our country because people have forgotten the truth of this passage of Scripture. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would do what I cannot do. I pray that You would convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And our Father, the Creator of the worlds spoke these words. And it was not a Baptist preacher, an Assembly of God, a Church of God, but it was the Son of God who took a little child and used him as an illustration of what it means to be a real Christian. Lord, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. God, give me your anointing. Fill me with the Spirit of God. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love children all around the world. And as Regina and I have been blessed to go and travel, and I watched there a while ago and the shoebox minister around the world. When you go from continent to continent to nation, when the children are little, there's hardly any difference in them. They may be a little different shade of color, but they are all pretty much the same. They seem as if they are happy. They seem as if they get excited over small things. And I remember when we went to Germany for the first time and went over when Brother McBride was there, and John and Faye Turner, some good friends of ours, and we were there for 9 days in Germany. I saw little German children playing. And if I'd have closed my mind, I'd have thought of, I was back in North Carolina at that time in Georgia where I was pastoring at, because the children there look and act just like children here. I've been to the Philippines and watched those little children and watch them, and as they interact, as they play, there's no difference. There's no difference in children around the world. But it's only when they begin to grow and develop that things change in their life. Now, understand this. The Bible said that we're all born in sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you don't go to heaven just because you do this or that or the other. You go to heaven because you've been born again by the grace of God. But in this passage of Scripture, our Lord gives us some wonderful stories, a wonderful truth. And I want you to notice in the first place this morning the context of this story that He gives. They've been walking along, and they're heading toward Calvary. It's not going to be very long before He'll be arrested and beaten, and before He'll go before the mock trials, and then before He'll be nailed to a cross, and He'll die and give His life and be buried and rise again. And they're walking along behind Him, and you read this passage of Scripture here and also in Mark and Luke, and you'll find out that they are talking among themselves. And there is some dissension among them as to who's going to be the greatest. Now, they're not talking about somebody over there being the greatest. They're talking about who in that little group of disciples is going to be the greatest when they get to heaven. Now, how can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing Him resurrect the dead, seeing Him heal and all manner of diseases and everything else, hear Him teach and preach, and then you're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in heaven? It just tells you that we have an old nature. They had an old nature. You got an old nature. And if you don't gird up the loins of your mind, if you don't put off the old man and put on the new man, you'll be just like them. But they wonder who's going to be the greatest in heaven. And then notice what happens in this story. The Bible says that when they ask that question, He doesn't really respond to them. Verse 2. They want to know, or verse 1, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and He set him in the midst of them. I want to share, I'm thinking about this occurrence. There's a group of people there, and they ask the question. He doesn't respond to their question, but He calls a child. Now, it doesn't say this, but I got an idea. He called him by name. I got an idea. It surprised him. It surprised his mom and dad if they were there. Surprised everybody else. Because, you know, He knows your name. Do you know that? How many of you know He knows your name? Did you think He said, hey, boy, come here? No, I think He called him by name. Not in the Bible. That's just me. Just me. And like Barry said this morning, I might be seeing something different. But the Lord knew His name. I believe He said, Johnny, come here. Come here. And notice He not only called him, but then it said this, that He set him in the midst. Now, if you read Mark and if you read Luke, you'll find each one of them, God the Holy Ghost reveals a little something different to us. And when you read here, it says he called the child, He set him in their midst, which means right in the circle where everybody could see him. But then it says this in the book of Mark, it says in chapter 9, verse 36, that He took him up in His arms. And that would reiterate what's here in this passage of Scripture. When He called him, He called this child, but in Luke it says he was a little child. I think he was probably a little older than Adrian just then. But He took him up in His arms. And then if you go to the book of Luke, you'll find this, that He set him beside Him. Wow. He called him by name. He took him in His arms, and He set him beside Him, right there in front of everybody. Now, you may have met some famous people in your life. You may have traveled to visit somebody and may accidentally have run into somebody in some place that was famous. But here's a little boy who's called by name by the Creator of the world, who took him up in his arms. How many kids can say that? That Jesus held me in his arms and then he had me to sit right by his side. Wow. He sits him by his side and then he begins to talk to them. And he said, notice what he said in verse number 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven. Salvation is not hard. I emphasized that at a singing not long ago. God made it where anybody can be saved. But you have to be born again by the grace of God. He said to Nicodemus, a religious leader who's been involved in reading the Bible of the Old Testament, had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible anyway, and he said, a man must be born again, and then he said, ye must be born again. This religious man had to get saved. He had to be converted. He had to make a change. And you don't get saved by acting like a child, but you become a child by getting converted when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Bible said in the Word of God that we are His children by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God in the sense that the world uses that. You're only His child if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been converted, if you know Him as Savior. But He said, you respond, notice He said this passage of Scripture, and become as little children. You live your life. What is unique about this little fellow? What's different about him? What lessons can we learn from this child? Number one, he was in the presence of Jesus. He could have been anywhere. He could have been anywhere in the world. But somehow or another, that day, his mom or dad or somebody made sure that they were in the presence of Jesus. And if you want your children to go to heaven, you better make sure you keep them under godly influence. The Lord knows that they get enough negative influence in the world. He was in the right place. He was there close to Jesus. You and I, if we want people to get saved, we got to get them close to the gospel, close to the Lord, and carry the message of the gospel to them. Bring them into the house of God. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He was close to Jesus. He was close enough to hear him when he spoke. I don't believe Jesus hollered back through the crowd and called his name. I believe he was close. He had him up, mom and dad had him up there close, or he got up close. And he was close enough to hear his name, hear him call. And the second thing I noticed about this was he's obedient to that call. There's not one of us in this building who's ever been saved that has not had the Holy Ghost of God to call us. He called us. He dealt with us. He spoke to us. He drew us. And we responded in faith. And when God the Holy Ghost speaks to you, you need to respond then. If you're in this building right now and you don't know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. If He speaks to you today, you need to respond then. He was obedient unto the call. Jesus said in one passage of Scripture, He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And how do you get to come to Him? He said, no man comes to me except the Holy Ghost of God draw him. And so when the Spirit of God begins to deal with your heart, you may be sitting in this building and it's not really a stem winder service. Not anybody shouting, swinging from the chandeliers and praising God. But right now, the Holy Ghost of God may be speaking to your heart and telling you that if you died right now, you'd go to hell. And if He's speaking to you personally and individually, you need to not only hear His voice, but you must respond to His voice. You need to hear it. But He responded to that call. Jesus called him, but He came. Everybody that gets saved comes. Everybody that is going to heaven heard a call. They felt something pulling at their heart. They might not could explain it. They didn't know what it was then. But after they get saved and they grow in the Lord, they understand that there was a call and they were obedient to that call. How many times have you been in a service? You're here this morning, you're lost. You're in the media audience and you're lost. And there have been times as a little boy, as a little girl, a teenager, somewhere along the line, the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of your heart and you felt like you needed to go. You felt like you needed to step out. You felt like you needed to respond and you didn't do it. And sadly, there are people maybe in the sound of my voice and in the media audience and in here who right now wish you could hear that voice one more time. Oswald Smith was pastor of the great church up in People's Church of Ontario. And that before his death, that church gave 90% of the income to missions around the world. And here was his thought. Why should anybody hear the gospel once, twice, when there are people in the world who've never heard it once? If God invited you one time, if God spoke to you one time, if God spoke to you as a child, if God spoke to you as a teenager, if God spoke to you as a young adult, if God's speaking to you now, He's not obligated anywhere in this Bible to speak to you but one time. One time. And when He calls, you must respond. Here's the lesson of this little boy. Out of all those people, Jesus called him, called his name, and he responded. Can I say to you, I'm glad He loved the whole world. I'm glad He died to save the whole world. But I'm glad one day in Roanoke Rapids, Halifax, North Carolina, on my mama's old green glider, God, the Holy Ghost, called my name. And I'm glad that I responded and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have you ever done that? Raise your hand and say, thank God, I know I'm saved. I tell you, that's where it happened. A face in a crowd. And God called your name. God spoke to your heart. You may have heard the words many times, but that day God called your name. God called you. And the Bible said the Lord called this boy, called this little boy. And he responded. He came to him. Let me learn a lesson now. That's how you get converted, when you hear his voice. But then he said, after that, you have to become like a little child. Let's look at his life. After he came to sit by Jesus, after he was held in the arms of Jesus, he changes us positionally. He puts us in Christ and we are saved for all eternity. But what then? He said, and be converted and become as a little child. I noticed a few things as I've prayed about going through this thing. Number one, I mentioned the fact that he was obedient to the call, but he learned to trust his strength. In the book of Luke, Mark, it says that he took him up in his arms. Now, a while ago when I was holding Adrian, he was wanting to get back to daddy. And that's not a bad thing. Aren't you glad that children know who they can trust and who to depend on and that love their daddy, that love their daddy that much? But he's learned from the very beginning that you can rest in his arms. He's strong. This little boy trusted Jesus, this little child. He learned from that very beginning that he was obedient and he could trust in the arms of the Savior. Did you know you may be not an athlete, you may not be anybody renowned, but when you become a daddy or a mama, when those babies, as they begin to grow, they think you can do anything. They really do. They believe you can do anything. And this little fella, from that time on, he said, I can trust his arms. I'll never go through a valley that he can't strengthen me. I'll never get so low that he can't lift me up. I'll never have so many problems that he can't help me. He learned from the very beginning that he could trust his strength. My dear friend, if you try to do it in your own strength, the Christian life, you'll utterly fail. But if you acknowledge who you are, that you're a sinner saved by grace and trust Him, you can trust in His arms. But notice this. I noted this. The Bible said that He brought him and He set him in the midst. It says in the book of Luke that he picked him up and He set him beside him. But here's what I drew from that. He was willing to be where the Lord put him. He was perfectly content being there. He was willing to be where the Lord wanted to be. And these disciples, they're listening to this little object lesson and watching this little boy. I want to be on, you know, they didn't say, I want to be on the other side. He didn't say, I'd rather sit over here. I'd rather sit on your knee. I'd rather sit here, sit there. He was willing to be obedient and just be where God wanted him to be. And if you'll learn that, if I'll learn that, where we won't struggle and fight so much, and we want to be here, want to be there, we want to be up here, not down here. If we'll learn just to be where He puts us, wherever God puts you at, you're salt and light there. You're to be where God put you at. And this little fellow was content to be where God put him. I've noted this. He has no aspirations to be prominent. He didn't ask to be put in that position. He didn't say, Lord, get me up here where I can see better. He didn't say, Lord, put me up here where they can see me. He just obedient to God, and God put him where He wanted him. This little fellow doesn't have any desires. He doesn't have any lust for money or success or fame. He's just content to sit by Jesus. Are you like that? Are you thinking that you need to be higher up in the religious realm or this, that, or the other? Are you content just to sit by Jesus? Are you satisfied just to be with the Lord? Walk with Him, talk with Him, fellowship with Him? And these disciples, they wanted to be the top dog. They want to be the hierarchy of the spiritual realm. This little fellow is just perfectly content to sit there. He has no idea of prominence. He has no idea of ever being rich or gaining worldly fame. That's not him. And you've got to become like a little child. All of your Christian life, you're to serve Him that way. You don't, if people recognize you, that's a good thing. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to exhort one another, good works and so on. But so far as we're concerned, our life ought to be one of contentment of serving Christ wherever He puts us to be and whatever He wants us to do. Notice, he was willing to let Jesus do all the talking. Brother Tom Robertson's grandson, forgot his name. Michael is his name. And he's a talker. He has been as long as I can remember. I mean, I think he was born talking. He likes to run around and talk, and he's active, super hyper, everything, and he just loves to talk. And so when they took him to kindergarten, to sign up to go to kindergarten, and the teacher was talking with him, right up front, here's what he said. He said, I didn't come here to learn what you won't tell me. I came here to tell you what I know. That's a little feller. I just came to tell you what I know. This little feller, he was willing to let Jesus do all the talking. And here are these disciples. They think, boy, we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to be great, and all these things. But this little fella's just willing. I just see him sitting there. He's sitting beside Jesus, and he's looking up at him, and he's content to let Jesus just do the talking. And do you feel like you got to be heard? You feel like you got to say something, or you're going to bust? Or are you willing to let the Holy Ghost of God speak through you what He wants to say, and just say what God wants you to say? This little fellow's willing to let Jesus do all the talking. I noticed something else. I've read carefully through all of these accounts. Jesus knew his name, but his name's never once listed in the Bible. He really didn't have any desire for everybody to know his name. Jesus is the only one that mattered in this situation for him. We want to be recognized. We want to be patted on the back. We want everybody to know our name. But this little fellow was content for them just to know who Jesus was. He's telling those disciples, guys, Peter, James, John, this one will do this and this will do that. But he said, your life ought to be one not about people knowing who you are, but about knowing who I am. And this little fellow was content to let Jesus do all the talking, and he was perfectly satisfied for them not to know his name, as long as they knew who Jesus was. Notice something else it says in this passage of Scripture. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Now, he's not talking about children in general. He's talking about this little child. This little child is humble. Humble. Humble is not weakness. He's humble. The Bible said God exalts the humble. The proud He'll cast down. And these disciples wanted to be proud of what they were doing. They wanted to be proud of who they were. They wanted to be proud of their accomplishments. They wanted everybody to recognize they were the men. But He's humble. And Christians ought to be humble people, not weak, not somebody people who just step all over, not weakness, but humble. The Bible said of Moses, who led 3.5 million Jews out of captivity, he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Humble, not proud, not boastful. God resists the proud, but this little fellow is humble, humble. I hasten on quickly to share these with you. He was an object lesson without saying a word. They learned a great truth by His presence and by His relationship to Jesus. He spoke what God wanted to speak without saying a word. He was just Himself, as God chose Him to do. He was the message that they wanted to hear. It's as if He was the living message of the Lord that day. And it's unusual how the Lord transitions. And notice what it says in verse 5, "Whoso shall receive one such little child in My name receiveth Me." This child, this little boy who was an object lesson, was what the Lord wanted to say to them that day. And if they would understand that, they receive it. It was just like they were receiving Him. That's what He wanted to be. This is what I want you to be. The Bible said when the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was buffeted, when He was reviled, He opened not His mouth. And He went as a lamb to the slaughter. He was humble, obedient, yielded. But the sight of Christ on the cross and our vision and our mind to see Him there, He is the message of God's love to this world. And when you see Him and think of Him and you realize what He did for you and you respond to Him, then you have everlasting life. And when you respond to that, one other little truth here I find interesting and more of it, but I'll share that tonight. But notice what it said, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in Me," and that goes back to verse number 3. How do you get converted? What made the difference in this little fellow? He says, "It's just going to be like others down the road. They're going to believe in Me. I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." But he said, "If whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believeth in Me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and they be drowned in the depths of the sea." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, "I'm going to take care of My little children." He believes I can do anything. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to take care of him. And if anybody offends them, if they cause them to stumble, if they do anything like that, they'll have to answer to Me. This little fellow learned right off the bat that he didn't have to defend himself. You don't have to defend yourself against the world. You stand for the gospel. You stand and you preach the Word of God. They'll persecute you because of who you are. They'll persecute you because of what you say, but you don't have to defend yourself. You just present the truth. The truth of the gospel. Here's a little fella, and he's used by the Lord. I wonder where he's at today. You ever wondered? I don't know that if you could travel all over Israel, I doubt very seriously if you find his name in any of the annals of Christian or annals of Jewish history over there. I don't think probably they got a plaque anywhere about him. I don't think he's in any kind of special place of recognition. They don't have museum pictures of him and say, "This is the little boy, so-and-so, so-and-so." But that didn't matter to him. That wasn't what it was all about anyway. Because right now, he's still in the presence of the Lord. Right now, he's still seated with Him in glory. Right now, he knows who Jesus is. in all those years that he lived and trusted him, believed on him, trusted his strength, trusted his power, was willing for him to be known and him not to be known, now he's in the very presence of the Lord for all eternity. Heaven's a real place, and it's for real people. Not for religious show-offs, but for humble people who know that they're lost and on their way to hell, and in childlike faith, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say more to you about some things about children tonight when you come back. But childlike faith, the only thing that counts in this story is what we picked a few things today. But the key is this: those who believe in me. The truth is, it's not hard to get to go to heaven. It's an awful thing to stay lost when God made it so easy for you to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Nobody in hell today is saying it was too hard. I couldn't do it, because they can't do it. I can't do it. But he said, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Would you, in simple childlike faith today, trust him? Let's bow our heads together and thank the Lord for Adrian today, for Sam and Stephanie. We're praying for them. You think about this little fella. The Lord called him, and he was obedient to that call. The Lord took him up in his arms, and he said, if you'll come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. He said that you're in the Father's hands, and no man's able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. He knew he was secure in his relationship with Jesus. He knew that he was strong. He knew he could depend on him. He knew he could provide his every need. He was willing to be where the Lord wanted him to be. He was willing to let Jesus do all the talking. He was willing for them to know Jesus. They didn't need to know his name. They just need to know Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Your church business, your church relation, and all this stuff. Has there ever been a time when you heard the Holy Ghost of God, maybe not all of it, but in your heart, he was calling you, speaking to you, drawing you by the Spirit of God? And did you respond? Many of you raised your hand a while ago. You said you did. Well, since that time, have you continued to be childlike? Not childish, I'll point that out tonight, but childlike. Childlike in your faith, in your surrender. Are you still living that humble, yielded, surrendered life to Christ? Are you obedient to him? When he said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. When you come together in my name, he said, are you obedient? I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Most all of us agree this world is way too complex and too complicated and too fouled up. We wish it was simpler. But this is one thing that has never, ever changed. Jesus is real. And if you in childlike faith will come to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me right now. I believe that you died for my sin. You were buried. You rose again. Lord, come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. I tell you, right now, he'll save you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I don't know if Chris is going to sing a word or we're just going to have music for a few moments. I'm not going to keep you long. You've been good to listen today. Don't miss these little stories, these little diamonds, these nuggets that God puts in the Word of God. Don't overlook. You see Christians to extreme. You see them that are cold and indifferent and backslid, and you see them that are boastful and proud and arrogant. But where are those humble Christian servants who love God, just walk by faith and not by sight, who want the whole world to know who he is and not who they are? Is that where we are? Is that where you are? It's a big picture, big great population out there. But it's those that I meet every day, those that you meet every day, that He wants us to be an example to. He set us in the midst. He put you where you are. You're light and you're salt and light, and you're there for Him. Just like that little boy was an example. He wants you to be an example. And I wonder this morning, if there's a man or woman or boy or girl here, as the song's being sung, would you slip out and come? Would you come this morning in childlike faith and say, Lord Jesus, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how wicked you've been. If still every one of them come the same way, like a little child, just simply believing that Jesus died for you. Oh, He's calling. Calling. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple. Childlike faith. While the music plays, I want to ask you a couple of questions and we're going to go home. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? If you have, why don't you thank Him right now that He called your name? Out of all those people that day, that little fella, he called his name. There was a time he called your name in some situation. You know he was dealing with you. He knows all about you right now. I'm sure glad He knows my name. I'm sure glad He saved me. Now let me say to you as believers, did you know that we're all He's got right now? I mean, this thing's fixing to wind down, and for some reason God in His sovereign purpose had you be living in this day. To be salt and light. Are you serving? Are you obedient? Are you humble? Not boastful, not bragging, not arrogant, but a humble servant of the Lord, pointing people to Jesus and believing God is able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. And our job is to present the gospel. Just share the truth of Jesus. We're nothing special. We're nothing. But He's everything. It makes no difference if they know us, as long as they know Him. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for this truth. And God, I know that, Lord, You just planned this whole service so that people can get a hold on this little truth. Unless we be converted, become as a little child, we'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. The most wicked, most vile, roughest, toughest man in the world has got to humble himself like a little child. The most successful, the most rich, the most famed, if they ever get saved, they got to humble themselves as a little child and come to Christ. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God, would not let one person the sound of my voice die lost. I pray, God, You'd take far from their mind and memory anything that was not true, that wasn't You speaking. And I pray that the Word of God will find a lodging, and God, it'll be a haunting memory. The Holy Ghost of God will deal with them through the day and the night and in the night seasons until they by faith believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior. God, help us to love You and serve You, to love one another with all of our life like you told us to do, to love others as we love ourselves, to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and God, to have the power and anointing of God on us to share the truth, and then what people do with the truth is between You and them. God bless these friends again, meet every need, and I'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Are you glad you came this morning? Amen. I want you to sing this with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. God bless you. Come back tonight. I want to share with you some more tonight about children, Christian children, as children. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen.